We're starting a new series on wisdom, and I want to remind everybody what the theme of our church for the year is. It's as your soul prospers. The Bible says, beloved, I wish, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Did you know within the church world, that whole thought is being attacked by some Christians? The idea of prospering is unbiblical, which to me is insane because it's so biblical. Now, I know there's some, you know, people that twist that and manipulate that for their own end and their own gain, but that doesn't mean that Bible verse is not real. The Bible says God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Amen? Come on, this is Way Church. Amen? Beloved, I wish above all things, if anything I could ever pray for, above everything that's going good in your life, I pray above everything that you prosper and be in good health. How many want to be in good health? Amen. And how many know prospering is not just material things? It's getting on well with your neighbors. Amen. It's being good at your job. It's having a good marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. And listen to this, even as your soul prospers. And so we've just abbreviated it down to as your soul prospers. Well, today I want to help you with your soul prospering. I want to talk to you about the idea of this series of wisdom. Week one, I want to talk about a couple of things and we're going to get into it. Did you know that Proverbs has 31 chapters and there's 31 days to a month? And I would just put it this way, if you don't yet have a Bible, daily Bible reading plan, can I give you a start? Can I give you an on-ramp? Why don't you, today is, what are we? Today is what? My watch doesn't tell me the date. June 7th. So why don't you read Proverbs 7 today? And just for the next couple of months, just determine you're going to read a proverb. That would be a good daily, starting on a daily program of reading the Bible. You never have to wonder what you're going to read because all you have to do is look at the date and it tells you what you're going to read. A proverb a day will help your soul prospering. Amen. And so in this series on wisdom that we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about, not today, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about wisdom with fathering. And exactly what Josh did is not wisdom. It just kept talking about how he beat me in golf. He loves to talk about the past. He's a has-been. All right? But then we're going to talk about wisdom, about when you're single, wisdom being single, wisdom with money, wisdom. I love this one. We're going to talk about Solomon's wisdom. Solomon was given a very complicated situation and there was no natural answer and God gave him supernatural wisdom. Anybody needing supernatural wisdom? Or what about this one? We're going to talk about worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom says hang on to everything you got. Godly wisdom says give. Can you say amen? What about this one? Wisdom with priorities. Or maybe this one. The spiritual gift of wisdom is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the manifestation gifts. So we're going to look at that, not today, but today I want to cover wisdom in knowing God's will for your life. Secondly, wisdom with rhythms of life. And thirdly, today, we're going to talk about wisdom in decision making. Are you ready? How many know you can know the will of God? The Bible says you can know it beyond all shadow of a doubt, that you can have a full knowledge of what God's will for your life is. Did you know the Bible actually says that? Now, I do also know that the will of God is something that is unfolding, and today's obedience will lead you to paths you never dreamt. Amen? So it's not like you know everything you're going to do for the rest of your life, because the will of God is unfolding. But I want you to look at I ask people all the time, what do you want to do with your life? And the answer is this, every time, I just want to do God's will. And I'm going, well, I'm asking you, what do you want to do? And your answer is I just want to do God's will. So then I'll ask them, well, what is God's will for your life? And they will usually answer very vague, a non-specific general answer. I just want to please him. I just want to serve him. Can I tell you, there's a better answer than that. That's a good heart, but there's a better answer. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that God will give you whatever you want. Amen? What it means is if you're determined to do everything you can to please him, to serve him, and to honor him, then the desires you have will not be your desires, but they will be God-given desires. Do you see the difference? Doesn't mean delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If your heart is to serve him, to please him, to honor him, then the desires you have are not your desires. They're God-given desires. Let me give you an idea what it looks like. If you want to be a business person and you want to be successful, you want to be kind and you want to be generous to those who are in need. You want to resource the kingdom. You're leaning into legacy. You're leaning into a building program in Wilson and or Richmond. Then you understand, listen to this, I want you to understand this, the desires you have are not your desires. They were not given to you by the devil. They're God-given. Amen. The devil would never give you such a desire to resource the kingdom, to be kind and to be generous. If you want to be a worship leader and you want to lead people into the presence of God, those desires are God-given desires. If you're Josh Kelly, he may have those desires, but he can't sing. How many know I'm going to be picking on Josh all day today? Okay. If you want to be a doctor, you want to be a nurse, and you want to see people healthy and whole, then those desires are God-given. If you're a single parent, you want to raise up your children to be warriors for God. They're not given to you by the devil. They're God-given desires. Amen. Too many people can't get past what they think their desires are and what their thoughts are without understanding the desires you have are God-given desires if you delight yourself in him. Proverbs 16, verse 3. I love this verse. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now in the world, it's the other. I remember when I was younger in my 20s, I would get a newspaper and there would always be back in Australia, the employment section where there were people, in the newspaper, companies would advertise looking for employees. And it would tell you the role, it would tell you the salary, but the thing it would go to great detail was the qualifications and the requirements that you would have to actually even to apply for the job. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you're not given the job until you've read the requirements, and then they describe what you need to have in terms of the education and the experience. You with me here? And if you met those requirements, they give you all the thoughts, and then you apply for the job. And should you be fortunate enough to be the one that gets the job, you go to work. In the kingdom, it's the exact opposite. The Bible says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I'm always amazed when sometimes people try and tell me, do you know, Pastor, what you should do in your church? And they're going to give me an opinion of what I should do pastoring the church. And I always go, are you serving anywhere in church? No. Well, then you don't have established thinking. Commit your works to the Lord. Do you know, Pastor, when I go, how many Sundays? Hey, Pastor, you should preach on this. And I go, how many Sundays have you been here? Well, this is my second Sunday. And I went, could you give me a little bit of slack here? You've only been here two Sundays. Amen. It's amazing how some people are great couch potatoes. They love to have opinions. Here the Bible says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Everybody catching this? I'll give an example. When I was first given the role and the opportunity to be a youth leader in our church that I got saved in, there were other people who thought they were more qualified, they were more eligible, and to be honest with you, I thought the same thing. When I got asked to be the youth leader, I was shocked. I went, me? And I thought of other people who were way more, they'd been to Bible school, they'd been trained, they were great leaders. But some reason, the senior pastor came to me and said, would you please take on the role of youth leader? There were 18 young people left in our youth group at the time. And so I remember these hot shots back from Bible school used to come up to me and go, well, what's your vision? And so me, knowing nothing about what they were asking, I said, my vision's 2020. And they laughed. They said, no, your vision. And I went, no, it's 2020. And I said, well, you know, I used to box, and so I'd have to go and get a medical report from a doctor every year, and he'd always check my eyesight, make sure there's no concussion, and so my vision is 2020. And they said, no, without a vision, people perish. These young people are going to perish if you don't have a vision. So I said, God, I don't want these poor young people to perish. I didn't even know I'm supposed to have a vision. God, I need a vision. And this is the vision I had. Watch this, real simple. Commit your works. This is the scripture the Lord gave me. Commit your works to the Lord, and I'll establish your thoughts. I didn't have any established thinking. I was just thrown in the deep end with no floaties. I mean, how much harm can you do with 18 young people? Do you know what I mean? And I went, he trusts me. The Lord's opened the door. And do you know what my vision was in those first 6 months? This is honestly my vision. You ready for it? Commit your works to the Lord. Every Saturday night, I used to pray, God, I pray no one gets hurt. Number two, I pray everybody enjoys it. Number three, I pray they want to bring their friends. Number four, I pray their friends become Christians. That was the extent of my vision when I was first given the role of youth leader. That was as big as I could think. But did you know 6 months into that, I started thinking thoughts, but it wasn't until I started doing it that my thoughts got established. Are you catching me? And after about 6 months, I remember thinking things like, we should do Bible studies in high schools. We should train young people in schools to be evangelists in their school. I started thinking about, let's do outreaches in the main mall of the city. I started creating a curriculum for young people. The Lord gave me a scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Parents, listen to this. If you have teenagers, Jesus at the age of 12, it says Jesus increased in wisdom, mind, intellect. He increased in stature, physical being, strength, and stature is character, integrity. And then it says he increased in wisdom, stature, favor of God, spiritual life, favor of man, social life. And now I'm starting to get established thinking because I'm committing to the Lord what I'm doing. Do you know, within just a handful of years, we turned that youth group from 18 to 300 young people, and we built an army of young people who had, we had community groups all over the city. The youth served in the church. The youth grew. We did leadership retreats, getaways, training for future leaders. The power of God was in all those youth meetings, and Mark Hopkins and I became the national trainers of the largest youth movement in Australia, training youth pastors how to start outreaches and Bible studies in high schools. It didn't start there. It didn't start there. It started with commit your works. So here's what you, if you don't know what God's will for your life is, do something. Even if you're in a job that you don't feel like it's where you want to finish up, commit it to the Lord and you wait and see how God will establish your thinking. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. I got to move. Colossians 1, verse 9. Here's the Apostle Paul. Who would like the Apostle Paul praying for you? Okay, not one person raised their hand. Who would like the Apostle Paul? There you are, praise the Lord. You're slow, but you do catch on. Okay, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. And what is he praying? We continually ask God, watch, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that you might live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. And look at this, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. I love this. Paul says, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. That is not a vague understanding. That is not just some general, I just want to serve him. I just want to, you know, just do God's will. It's you can be filled with the knowledge of his will. You can know the will of God today. Specific, clear. I'll just keep doing this till somebody does something. Amen. Now watch. It says, and here it is, that you live a life that is worthy of the Lord, that you please him in every way, and that you bear fruit in every good work. So I want you to look at this card for a minute, and I want you to pick it up, and you'll see on the back of it, it talks about some good works that we would all have in common. Everybody got this? Okay, I want you to fill this out right now in the service. I want you to consider these categories. How many would agree these would be good works we would all have in common? Okay, so here's the first one, spiritual life. And I want you to look at that and consider those numbers. One being, you know, I really don't have one. I don't have a spiritual life. And you say, well, what does that look like? It means you're not in the Word. It means you're not praying. It means you go to church once a month. Happens to be that Sunday where I'm talking to you because it's that once a month you go. Oh, that got very quiet. You know, you don't have a spiritual life. You know what I mean? Like, you're not good in those areas. And it's okay because you're here today and God's speaking to you about it. Amen? But if you've got a good word life, you're in the Word, you're praying, amen? You got spiritual life, you're involved in church, you're serving, amen? Then I think you should give yourself a five. Don't do twos and threes. I want you to use the full gambit of numbers. If it's something really poor, give yourself a one. Be honest with yourself. Amen? And if it's really good, don't be afraid to use the one and the five. That's all I'm trying to say. Then the next one, finances. How you doing with your finances? Are you managing your finances? Are you a good steward of your resources? Are you giving? Are you a giver? Do you believe in generosity? Amen? Number three, health. These are all good works. Amen? How are you physically? How are you? Are you in shape? It's very quiet in here. I know you're all filling out the card. Okay, marriage and family. I'm not talking about are you married? I'm talking about are you bearing fruit? And then I want to ask you, what kind of fruit is it? Amen? And I want you, now, the Bible says that Jesus increased in all four of these. Look, he increased in wisdom, stature, favor of God, favor, at the age of 12. Watch, all at the same time. And it's the will of God, Paul says, that we bear fruit in every good work. So we can do all these things simultaneously. Amen? And then your work. Like, do you get to work? Do you have a job? And not just do you have a job, but you actually work. Are you a piece of the furniture? Like, is your presence better on the job than it is off the job? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you put in a good day's work? And if you're in school and you're studying, maybe you're in college, I want to encourage you to consider that as your work right now. Amen? And then church. Are you in church? Are you plugged in? Are you in a community group? Are you serving on a team? Do you go to church regularly? Amen. And the last one is social life. And I have to, how many agree they're all good works? All right. Now look at all the ones and twos because they're the things you need to work on. But what you don't do is take down the five to a three to improve the one and two. Remember, listen to me. The Bible says that you bear fruit, watch this, in every good work. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor of God, favor of man. And so too often we go, well, right now, you know, I can't lessen my work hours, so I'm going to lessen some other area. I'm going to go to the gym less. I'm going to, you know, and you bring a five down to a three to bring a one up to a three. Well, now you're just mediocre. It is the will of God. And I want you to think about, what can I do? There is the will of God for your life. Work on the ones and twos and get them up to fours and fives in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think that's pretty good right there. Number two, just about the will of God. Amen. You're catching it now. Commit your works to the Lord. your thoughts will be established. Maybe you're in a job you don't want to be ultimately. Just do good today and God will open up your future. You'll learn how to think bigger. You'll learn how to be faithful in the small things and God will trust you over much. Here's the second thing. Wisdom within the rhythms of life. Look at the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a pastor. So let's consider what Paul was saying, but now I want you to put yourself in there. I want you to think about Paul writing to you, Mike Whalen, the chiropractor. I want you to consider the Apostle Paul talking to you, Margaret Cameron, the finance mortgage company owner. I want you to think about you in your job. And Paul's writing this to you. He goes, do your job. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Do you know what Paul's saying to Timothy here? He's saying, Timothy, there's going to be days when you feel like going to work. Timothy was preach the word. You hear? That was Timothy's calling. But for you, it's whatever your job is. And he goes, do your job. Preach the word in season and out of season. How many know what it is to be in season and out of season? There's days when you feel like, man, I'm just loving life. This is going so well. And there's other days, it's a grind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And Paul says, hey, Timothy, you've got to be instant. You got to be ready when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Do you know what he's saying? Get some game face on. There's going to be rhythms in your life. And you've got to understand there are seasons. Amen? And there's no doubt there will be seasons in your life when you're flying high. And there's no doubt there will be seasons in your life when you feel like you can do nothing right. Look at this. Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Do you know the Bible says there will be night seasons? He's the God of the mountaintop and he's the God of the valley. Isn't it funny how you can just, when we talk about the will of God, you can have one era of your life and you're in season. And you can have another era of your life and it's out of season. And you just can't always get on this performance treadmill. I mean, years ago when we first started going up to ride up in Tennessee in the mountains, the tail of the dragon. Do you know, I used to go there for years and years, and Sharon used to always say, honey, have a nice trip, see when you get back. The day Josh got his motorcycle license and said to me, Dad, I want to go to the tail of the dragon with you. I said, come on, son, it'll be fun. Sharon said to me, Steve, if he doesn't come home alive, you better not come home alive. Mama Bear looking after the cub. All these years, I've been going off, have a nice trip. What I didn't know, she was checking on the life insurance. A bit of advice for all the men with life insurance. You want to make sure that you have enough life insurance. Tragically, should you die, your wife should never have to work again. Not so much her new husband never has to work again either. I thought that was funny. Okay, so, and I remember saying to Josh, hey man, he's a good rider, by the way. He's very, very competent. And I'm watching him go through the bends and the curves. And I'm going, you might just want to go a little slower, but he can ride. I met this guy who's a retired Navy SEAL, came up to me and he said, I need to speak to your son. I said, well, I'm not going to argue with you. Go ahead. And he goes to Josh, and I'll never forget this. He goes, Josh, you've got good lines. He goes, I can tell you like going into those corners fast and move through them. He goes, let me ask you a question. What level of margin do you leave? It seems to me you're going in hot. Seems to me you're going in fast. And you're pushing it to the extent of your skill. And Josh goes, yeah, I probably am, probably at 90, 95%. He goes, what if something happened and unexpected and you've only got 5% skill margin left? He goes, we on the teams never train like that. We trained at 70 to 80% of our skill level. So if something happens unexpected, we still have margin within our skill to make an adjustment. And I remember Josh went, that's awesome. And I'm going, I said the same thing. last week. But just because it's a Navy SEAL, he listens. All that mattered is he listened. And what the lesson is simply this. By the way, we were just talking about that just this last trip and about going, I said to him, thank you. You really helped him because I, you know, dad, he won't listen to dad because I beat him at golf and it humiliates him. And that's hard for a son to handle his 62-year-old father beating him at golf when he's 35 and he should be in better shape and stronger. Praise the Lord. You know I'm not letting this go anytime soon. Praise the Lord. But the point is, if you're redlining it all the time, you're in trouble. Even the momentum of Wave Church, I don't know if you give much thought to it, but I sure do. I think about the busyness of us as a church. And I think there's certain times when it's always a game, but there's certain times when you're really busy. There's conference, devoted conference, there's Wave conference, there's Christmas, there's Mother's Day, there's Easter, there's special events and outreaches. So I kind of feel like a healthy rhythm for Wave Church is one third of the year, not all at once, but one third of the year should be going pretty good, but going pretty fast. But then another third of the year, we should be just cruising in a good crossing T's, dotting I's, a healthy, sustainable momentum. And then the other third of the year should be less than busy so that you got room to refresh and think and get creative and room for, do you know what I'm saying? And I think that's a rhythm. I think we've got to learn how to get wisdom with rhythm. Sharon knows. I am so committed to bearing fruit in every good work. Remember this chart we did? Sharon knows that family life to me, I am convicted. It is the will of God that I'm to bear fruit in every good work. And I would say to her, if ever you see me get, because I can be a little, you know, let's charge hell with a water pistol. I can be, if I'm not careful, ready, fire, aim. Some of you will get that. And I can be two-thirds of God's name, go. Let's go. Amen. So Sharon will go, hey, Steve, I think right now you're just a little too busy. I need you to spend a little bit more time at home with the kids. And she knows in a second that would pull me up, wouldn't it? I would pivot on a dime. There are times, even when I would look ahead into our schedule, and I'd say, honey, these next 3 months, it's going to be really busy. I remember 1 year back in Australia, I was putting in 18-hour days for about 3 months. I said, honey, you're not going to see me. I've got a lot going on. I was doing too much, to be honest with you. And then finally, at the end of that, I said, we got a great vacation planned. I'm going to make it up. We're going to have a great time. The only problem with that was it was a great plan. I had a great vacation, but my immune system was shot. And so when I finally slowed down from working that hard, I got a simple cold. But because my immune system slowed down, because I finally slowed down, I got a simple cold that normally all the antibodies, whatever it is, would fight and deal with that. But mine didn't because my immune system slowed down. And I ended up getting viral meningitis. And I spent 6 weeks in darkness in a bedroom with the worst, most painful headache I've had in my life. And I learned something about rhythm. And I want to encourage you. Come on. You got to be instant, in season, and out of season. You're not always bearing fruit. You're not always redlining. You got to get some rhythm. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. It says, ship your grain across the sea. Do you know what that means? Work. Be employed. Amen. And after many days, you may receive a return. Do you know what it's saying? This is speaking to the entrepreneurial you. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster will come upon the land. I remember one guy, he said to me, Pastor, I want to let you know that I've got all this, taken all my American money, and it was quite a substantial amount of money. He goes, I've invested it all into the Iraqi dollar because the Iraqi dollar is going to come good once all this stuff in Iraq and the war. And he goes, I am going to make a fortune. And when I make a fortune, Pastor, I'm going to give a fortune to Wave Church. And I thought to myself, give portions to 7, even to 8. You don't know. He was putting all these eggs in one basket. And I was praying for him. It would come through. Not because I thought Wave Church needed what he promised. I just thought, man, I don't know. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard someone do. Especially in Iraq and the uncertainty of wartime and everything else. Look what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6. Sow your seed in the morning and at evening, let your hands not be idle. What's it saying? Get a good rhythm. Amen? You don't know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. This is wisdom. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Amen? We don't always know which one's going to return back to us with a harvest. We just got to make sure we're sowing seed. Come on, somebody. And I want to encourage you. Just understand that, you know, when it comes to good rhythms, you know, you got to get it. And you got to, if you're married, let your spouse talk to you about it. Listen, right now you got a rhythm of too much drinking in your life. Right now you got a rhythm of being at work too long. You need to come home, be a parent, be a spouse. Oh, it's so quiet in here. All right, last one. Wisdom and decision. Are you all enjoying this? Are you looking down at the sheet of paper? What's going on here? Okay, last one. Wisdom and decision making. One of the biggest mistakes we can make is when we make no decision at all. One thing's for sure. No decision means no clarity, no direction, nothing is accomplished. No risk is taken, and therefore there's no reward. Playing it safe, listen to me, look at me, come on, all the campuses, is a dangerous way to live. We can be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. We can bear fruit in every good work. We can accept and embrace the seasons of our life and be good with it, but we can equally know how to make good decisions, God decisions. It's not enough to say, I just want to do what God wants me to do. Look what the Bible says. 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence we have. If we ask anything in accordance to His will, He hears us and will answer us. So I hear people pray, Lord, if it's your will, heal that marriage. Lord, if it's your will, heal that person's sickness. Lord, if it's your will, bless me. Stop praying prayers without knowing God's will. This is the confidence we have. If we ask anything with the knowledge according to His will, He hears us. I thank you, Lord. It is. Marriage is your will. And reconciliation is your will. So, Lord, I'm praying with faith and confidence that marriage is your idea. And I'm praying, God, healing on a marriage. Now, I know sometimes marriages can and do end up in divorce. But I want to encourage you to understand, you got to know God's will. And how do you know God's will? In the Word. Amen. Lord, if it's your will, heal this person's sickness. Stop praying that prayer. Find out what His will is. By His stripes, we are healed. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll give you the mic. You keep doing that. It does say it. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. If it was not the will of God you to be healed, then Jesus was going against the will of God healing people. Come on, somebody. So you got to find out what the will of God is, and you find that by the Word of God. And this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And then still sometimes in reading the Word, we don't fully understand something. So what the Bible says, Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for. How many know that verse is true? But, watch this, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart, watch this, knows the mind of the Spirit, watch, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Did you know that when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but one thing I do know, that if we pray in the Spirit, we are praying the perfect, pleasing will of God. And sometimes we don't know how to pray as we should. So the best thing you can do then is pray in the Holy Ghost, to be a person of the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. Too many people are waiting for God, and God is waiting for you. 2/3 of God's name is go. Some of us are waiting for God. And I just want to say it to you one more time. You got to get off your blessed assurance and do something. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Amen. Watch this. Last verse and I'm done. Colossians 3 verse 15. Let the peace of God, I love that, rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. I want you to understand this one word, rule. That word rule literally means umpire. It means referee. So sometimes in making a decision, listen to me, there is an umpire that will blow the whistle. There's an umpire that will throw a flag. Are you hearing me? But how many know you only hear from the umpire if you're on the field playing? If you're in the bleachers watching the game, the umpire doesn't care where you're seated. He doesn't care if you got the wrong seat. If you're on the sideline, the umpire's not interested in you. He's only interested on the people on the field. You'll never hear from the umpire unless you're on the field playing. You'll never know the will of God unless you're committing your works to the Lord. You'll never know the peace of God that rules your heart unless you... See, this might sound arrogant, and maybe somebody might come to me afterwards and say it is, but it's okay. I'm going on the extended break. I don't care. Here's the bottom line. I pray. I read the Word. I pray in the Spirit. I seek godly counsel before I ever make any major decision. And I do live my life like this. I'm on the field. I'm willing to make courageous decisions. Are you hearing me? And I presume I'm living my life in the will of God unless I hear from the umpire. Because the only time you hear from the umpire is if you break a rule, if you don't play by the rules. But if you're in the Word, come on, and you're praying in the Spirit, and you're seeking godly counsel, then I just think, live your life. You'll never know the umpire's whistle unless you're on the field. But if you do something that is out of bounds for your life, you'll lose your peace. The umpire threw a flag. People say, do you pray about every decision you make? Not always. I didn't pray about what I'd have for breakfast this morning. I had a protein shake for breakfast and a banana. I didn't pray about it. I just thought, eat. Amen. But I did pray for you. I did pray for this message. I did ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Am I talking to anybody? So if you need to make a decision, listen, and you don't know which way to go, pray about it. Pray in the Spirit. Read the Word. Seek godly counsel. And if still you're unsure, then make the best decision with the information you've gained. If it's wrong, then the peace of God will be the umpire of your life. He will blow the whistle. If anybody can say amen. Okay, I told you that was my last scripture. I lied. James 1, and I'm finishing with this. I'm going to hand back to Josh. If anyone lacks wisdom, look at this. If anyone lacks wisdom, anybody here lack wisdom at all the campuses? Pray, if you don't have your hand up, you lack wisdom. Anybody lack wisdom? Come on. Okay, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives how? Generously. And to all. Watch. Without finding fault. So God doesn't go, no, you're divorced. No, you went bankrupt. No, you lied yesterday. Come on. He doesn't find fault. Oh, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God. And how does God give it? Generously. And listen, He gives it without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Look at the next verse. I love this. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts, look, is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Look at the next verse. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Amen. Look at the next verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Look at me as I close. Look at me now. Look at me. If you are double-minded about one area of your life, that verse is telling me it destabilizes your whole life. Are you hearing me? A double-minded man is unstable, not in that area he's double-minded, but in all his ways. We've got to be good decision makers. Amen. Should I date this person? Should I get that job? Should I move to that city? Should I stay here? Should I have a family? Should I tithe? That should be pretty simple. Some people struggle with that. Amen. I want to encourage you. You know, where you spend your time, how you spend your time, decisions. Well, if I get involved here, that means I'm going to be too busy. It's going to disturb my rhythm. Does that make sense? Am I helping anybody today? This is good preaching. This is wisdom, because we want our souls prospering. Amen. Well, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. And I promise you, I'm so standing here and I'm holding this microphone and I've got one finger pointed out at you, but I promise you, I got four pointed at me. I'm not sitting here saying I've arrived at this truth. I promise you, I haven't. But I am sharing you some things I've learned over 45 years of being a Christian that has helped me to be where God's got me today. Do you receive the word? Amen.